It was in the war, and obviously it was very short in the war. He picked up bits and pieces of tobacco from his time in Chile, so he just grew it for himself, really. Not very expertly, but so he just grew it to smoke for himself. And it was only when the church tower started to be dangerous that he thought up this way of making some money for the church.
And how did he do that?
He just put a little bit in the deanery magazine, just saying if anybody would like to send 5 shillings to help with the repair of the church, he'd tell them what he knew about tobacco, which at the time wasn't all that much.
And what was the response?
It was enormous, because what happened was that the London newspapers picked it up. And one morning we came down to about 500 letters on the doorstep.
Goodness me, he must have been taken aback.
Yes, he was, very much.
And from then it all started?
Yes, it all started from there, really.
And how did people describe the tobacco? Did they compare it to what was commercially available?
It didn't smoke as harshly as professional tobacco. People preferred it. In fact, after he died, I took it over for a while. I didn't actually grow the tobacco, but I actually kept the office work on and did the curing for a while.
Did it grow well in the Essex climate?
Yes, it's the same family as potatoes and tomatoes.
And how do you know when it's ready then, when the leaves start yellowing?
Yes, that's right, yes.
And then what do you do?
Well, then it's hung up and dried. Then you have to cure it before you smoke it.
Now, there are strict rules about growing it in this country, and your father kept to the right side of the rules, didn't he?
Oh, yes, very much so. In fact, after the curing, we used to have the what was called the Queen's Pipe. The customs and excise used to come and burn all the tobacco that was left.
Now, your father was vicar here for how long?
About 23 years.
And in that time, I understand he received evacuees from London, which was being bombed.
Yes. I think first of all, he started with children and then families. This one family that was here for a year, and we still keep in touch with them.
So the whole family were evacuated down here?
All the women. It's pretty awful up there, of course, 1940. And one day the father came in and said, right, pack all your things. We borrowed a vehicle from the fire station, we're going to get you out of London. So the whole family got into this vehicle. They didn't know where they were going, and they ended up in Dunmo. They said that they had come down from London, they'd nowhere to go. So the person in Dunmo rang my father, and how he did it, I don't know, but they ended up with 14 of them suddenly arriving late at night, and they fed them all, I don't know how.
And they all stayed?
They all stayed for a night, and then all the men went back up to London and left all the women here.
And you were small, you were a little girl at the time. What memories do you have?
I don't have very many memories of them, really. Only thing I always remember was that I always thought it was very strange that the two twins that came were called Rosie and Violet, and I thought that was really strange. But, of course, in London, the flowers meant a lot.
And, of course, your father, being a Christian vicar, only wanted to help.
Oh, yes, definitely. He was always very good with things like that.
Am I right in thinking he was a good friend of another vicar around here?
He was very friendly with Conrad Noel. It was Conrad Noel that persuaded him to be a priest. He worked for Vickers in the aircraft industry and had one of the first pilot's licences. And he used to come down to Thaxted. He had a cottage in Thaxted, and in that way he got to know Conrad Noel.
So he was one of the first people to fly?
Yes. Unfortunately, we haven't still got his pilot's licence, but we have got a lot of his stuff from that time, and we've got a lot of photographs of him.
So he got close to Conrad Noel. Conrad Noel presumably was already vicar of Thaxted at that time.
Yes, and of course he was one of the early socialist vicars as well.
Yes, he was known as the Red Vicar, wasn't he?
Yes, that's right.
What did your father think of his politics?
He was very much part of the social movement at the time.
Do you recall your father preaching on subjects?
He didn't really bring it into the church. He did a lot of work outside, but he never actually brought politics into the church.
During the war, Christmas 1940, 80 years ago next year, the BBC came to Tilty, didn't they?
Yes, part of the Christmas broadcast was from Tilty.
So who was here at the time? Presumably not only your father, but the evacuees.
Yes, John Pudney, who was part of the BBC at the time, he suggested that they came to Tilty because of the evacuees.
And did your father take part in the broadcast?
Yes.
So he would have, what, said prayers and things?
I think it was more talking about the evacuees and the war and that sort of thing.
And then several years later, you and the local history group decided to reenact that BBC broadcast.
Yes, that's right. It was very successful as well.
Were you in it?
Yes, I was in it. I was one of the people in the crowd, really.
And your son?
He wouldn't let anybody else take his grandfather's part.
Your father also travelled quite widely. Was that before he came to Tilty?
Yes, he was vicar in Liverpool at the time of the means test. They got very tired. They were there for 5 years. So they decided that they would like to go somewhere a bit quieter. And they applied for a parish in the Falkland Islands, thinking it was in Scotland. And when he actually got it, it was in Chile, of course. So he was there for 5 years. Now, one of the things that he really loved was going up into the mountains on horseback. When they actually came home, they did a journey right across the Andes into Argentina. When they got there, there was a lot of excitement and they didn't know why. And apparently my mother was one of the first women who'd ever crossed the Andes on horseback.